Welcome to the Performance Health Podcast. My name is Tim Caron. Today we got Coach Justin King from Built Better in Scottsdale, Arizona, talking about expanding and going into a new location, plus all the other amazing things he's got going on, from his digital training, his in-personal training, work with pro athletes, work with bodybuilders. Amazing conversation. Coach King has got a ton of great insights on how to build a business, as well as optimizing training for all your clients. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe and share. Also, we have a couple updates. One, we have more copies of Strength Deficit, so make sure you get your order in now. We have a ton of copies of How to Become a Strength Coach. This is a foundational thing for all strength conditioning coaches. We have a CSCCA event in May 5th in the Marriott, Indianapolis. You will love this event. We have co-sponsors of Metabolic Elite, Optimized Nutrition and Supplementation. We have Get Set, which is a nicotine alternative loaded with theanine, amazing product. We have Kratos. It's going to be an unbelievable event. Also, the biggest thing about this event, it pre-orders my third book. If you're not familiar, I have a third book coming out this summer. It's going to be published by Human Kinetics. It's all about programming in the team sector so you can have the most optimized experience for all of your athletes. It's going to be an amazing event. I hope you guys can attend. If you can't, purchase a ticket. You can get that book yourself. And then lastly, Strength Deficit Course, Foundations Course are still available. Make sure you get on that ASAP so you guys can get the best in learning and education from Strength TC. All right, let's talk to Coach King.
Unlock your potential as a strength coach with the Foundations Course. Are you ready to take your coaching to the next level? The Foundations Course isn't just another checklist or to-do list. It's a transformative journey that focuses on key models and skills that make great strength coaches. It will help you develop into the best version of yourself. In this course, you'll dive deep into essential concepts such as, what do you want? Why do you want that? How are you going to get that? We're going to develop the motivation to develop the skills that are prerequisite to getting what you want. We're going to maintain motivation through practice. We're going to master communication. We're going to work on application through developing a coaching business and a 1-5 and a 10-year plan. This course is designed to be specific to your needs. You'll learn at your own pace, diving into what matters to you. Each lesson is paired with an interactive workbook and a corresponding module. You'll get a copy of the Foundations workbook and a copy of How to Become a Strength Coach to make a deeper understanding of the lessons we're going through. Why choose the Foundations course? Develop a personalized coaching strategy that's tailored to you, your wants, and your needs. Build the skills and knowledge needed to become the strength coach you know you can be. Map out a clear 1, 5, and 10-year plan to stay on track for long-term success. Receive hands-on resources to help integrate learning into your coaching practice. The best coaches are informed. They're made through consistent learning and development. This is your opportunity to become the coach that you know you always could be. Start your journey today by purchasing the Foundations course.
Okay, we got Justin King on today, Built Better. Thank you for being on. Dude, give me a short introduction and then we'll get into some Q&A.
Yeah, brother. Thanks again for having me on. Honestly, it's a privilege. Love everything that you got going on. I'm based out of Scottsdale, Arizona. We coach worldwide online, and then we've got our physical location there in Scottsdale. I'm coaching now for about a decade. I had the privilege of learning from some of the best minds, in my opinion, the Charles Poliquins, Ian Dannys, Ben Prentice. Just started my career really aggressive with trying to take as much information as I could from everyone. Culminated it into my own thing back in 2019. 2020 is right when it really started kicking off with the in-person. And yeah, just been cruising ever since. Gotten to work with pro athletes from 16 different sports at this point. Lots of NFL and combat sports, and gotten into the fitness space quite a bit as well. Just loving every part of it, man. God's got me on a great journey, and I'm loving the impact that I'm having.
Wow. Okay, first question. Did you have online clients and then opened up a physical brick and mortar, or did you open up brick and mortar and then start accruing the online side?
Yeah, so early on, I did have a handful. One of the first guys I was working for, Malcolm Gwilliam, he's real cool. I was like, yeah, man, like if you want to have a couple online clients, go for it. So I had some stuff there when I was working for his company, First Performance. Quickly after I had left that, I had shot to open up my first spot. I was competing in bodybuilding at the time, so I was like 6 weeks out from a show, trying to open up a spot was not a good idea. But anyways, So I guess you could say I did have the online first. And then I'd say I really started getting traction once I had in person. And then in the last year, the online has taken off quite a bit.
Now, with the facility, what was the trigger that you're like, hey, I actually really need to open up a brick and mortar?
Yeah, I mean, that's just the cloth that I'm cut from, especially being from like the Charles Poliquin group, per se. Charles would like, oh yeah, I'm an online coach. Oh really, are you? You're a coach, huh? Like you can do that online? So like I'm by no means of that mindset to where it's, no, you're only a coach if you coach in person. But just again, when I was coming up, it was like, hey, if you want to coach, you've got to do 10,000 perfect hours in person. And then you got to do 10,000 more perfect hours. And that's how you build your coaching eye and everything that's going to make you a valuable coach online. So yeah, that started there just because of that's what I was taught.
Okay. Now, go back to, was it 2020 when you opened up Built Better, the facility? What were some of the year one objectives and things that you were really trying to accomplish?
Yeah, being completely honest, I was not some like crazy business mind. I just am very ambitious. If there's a wall in front of me, like I'm going to hit my head through it until I get through, especially if I feel like I'm called to do it. So when I got in, it was like, man, I got to put food on the table for my wife and I. Like we were trying to adopt at that point in time. I know what it can be. I've seen people that have opened facilities. So it was a day by day thing. Honestly, I didn't go into it with an investor or with a business plan or anything like that. It was like, you know what? I know how to coach. I'm just going to start. Let's make this simple. I want to get incredible results. And if I get incredible results, this is going to grow. And then from there, like the financial goals or the timeline on a bigger facility or whatever it is, those things will come. But first things first is like the product, the IP that needs to be set. And then I can worry about the other things. So it's a little back ass words there, but it worked out.
Do you think that ethos is a universal truth for you where you focus on training clients and athletes the same way?
Are you saying like in the sense of focusing on the results first and then everything else is going to come? Or no, that's the biggest thing for me. I don't care if I'm working with a multiple year vet in whatever given sport or if it's an old lady who's coming in because she fell and she doesn't want to fall again and she wants to get stronger. They're there for a result. If I'm not giving someone a result, why would they come and pay me? You know what I mean? That's problem number one. I can have a really cool package where I'm selling things or an incentive, or I can have a really flashy facility. But at the end of the day, to me, the market is saturated with those things. There's a lot of people that kind of know how to train. They have some money to do things or they're really good at sales, whatever it is. But I feel like what could be missing in some instances is that obsession. No, I just want to get you crazy results. That's what I'm focused on. And then I just did a consultation with one of my business mentors and he's telling me IP will always be able to spit out new things and it'll always carry itself. Systems without IP, it ends up failing at some point in time. You need to have that. And the IP in this case is the results. So yeah, I've always been extremely obsessive with life transformative results. That's our thing.
Yeah. Now going back to year one, what were some of the bigger lessons you had from actually having a brick and mortar?
Yeah. So once you had things rolling, a big lesson was first and foremost, there has to be some portion of a repeatability. I was doing everything from scratch from the jump. And that's perfectly fine when you've got five clients and you're filling a 40, 60, 70 hour work week with just being obsessive with everything that you're doing, but that's not scalable. So trying to find ways to know with your assessment, this is exactly what I'm going to do every single time. With your billing, this is the exact pricing that we're going to do. With your systems of how you schedule, how you get them to sign up for more sessions, whatever it is, making something a repeatable process so that it as well, like going into year two or whatever, I can then start handing these things off to people. Year one, especially the first part is just like, all right, let's go in there. I got no plan. I'm just going to go crazy. I'm going to work hard and which is good. It's needed. But yeah, systems are definitely needed.
Now, did you come to that realization when you started to make hires or were you just coming to that conclusion of this is not sustainable and I got to figure out solutions to run?
It was definitely before making hires. It was when I started to think about making hires for sure that all started to happen. Like you get to the point where you're doing 40 sessions in a week, which in the training world, if you're doing good quality sessions, 40 plus is extremely difficult. And if I'm not organized, it turns into a 70, 80 hour work week because I'm having to redo everything every single time. So that efficiency on the back end became my limiting factor. And then of course, when it comes into bringing in staff, you've got a much larger staffing to do this. You've got to have things that are systemized and expectations and goals and boundaries are set so that people can thrive, be successful, and the business can grow without a bottleneck.
Now, this is something I think a lot about with anyone who has an extremely developed skill set and really unique value prop. Did you struggle with the idea of replicating yourself with your staff at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I've always tried to be extremely humble. So like my first hire, I told him like, my goal is I want you to be a better coach than I am. And so that's very easy to say. But then when you hand off one of your clients to them, or if someone comes in and they immediately go to them, it's, oh man, but I feel like I can do that better. One, that is not a good thing. I want to set my staff up to where they have the ability to honestly be better than me at some point in time. I feel like that's a really good reflection of a mentor-mentee scenario. Where it really hit me was I was having a conversation with Nick Mitchell, and he's looking over everything that I was doing. And he had told me, listen, dude, you're going to die early. You're not gonna grow your business past the point that it's at right now. And if you die, all these people that you care so much about, they're not gonna have a business because of the business of you right now. So that was a really big eye opener for me towards, okay, that's my new obsession, being the quote unquote CEO, owner, whatever it is of Built Better, is I need to make everyone just an absolute rock star. And that's my new obsession towards, I don't even care about me. Put me to the side. I want to put you on the pedestal. Like you're the one who the eyeballs need to be drawn to. Like you're Built Better. I just happen to own it.
Now, how do you manage that when, because I'm a betting person, someone's calling Built Better to work with you. How do you manage that on the initial conversation? Is it a tiered rate? Like you can work with me at a specific amount? Or is it, no, we're a very, everybody's got equal share and we're going to do almost a shared tip. So if we just have equal access to all of our potential clients and we'll go through that process. How do you get to that like critical juncture where I know they're coming there for you and I, but then you have to answer that question with that potential client. No, I'm going to put you with this person and they're going to do a great job. And how do you manage that?
Yeah, it's definitely been a dance, especially in the pro athlete realm. A general population, there was a little bit of some toying with it initially. And honestly, is more so just wording and setting expectations, going from like they call and the consult note says, hey, you're going to meet with your coach and boom, here's me. It's, hey, like you're going to do your initial call with the owner, Justin King, and he's going to talk about the coaching process you're going to experience with our team. So it's just setting expectations. That honestly has not been difficult at all. People have seemed to like the idea of being a part of Justin King's system, Built Better system that has worked with all these people. The pro athletes on the other side, especially because some of the guys come in and by all means, like I'm not a pro athlete, so I can't talk. But some of these guys are like, hey, do you know who I am? Like, you better have a spot for me because I'll pay whatever rate and I want to work with you. We've built a good set of tiered scenarios up. And honestly, like at this point in time, I don't have any more room because my priority again is the business, making sure everything's growing there, because then I know we'll be able to impact more people. So I'm at most in person. I've got 3 sessions in a day, and online I've got 7 right now. And there's one other that I'm potentially bringing on, but other than that's it. But honestly, it hasn't been as difficult. I think it was more so a me thing at first. Oh no, like, what if they really want to work with me though? And it's not a big, get over it. They're not going to work with you. They're going to work with your team and put the tools in your team's hands to where you know that they're going to do an incredible job.
Yeah. Well, when I look back and I looked at your social a lot here, and this would be the next question I have. You did a really good job of finding marketable assets that come into your facility, whether they're pro athlete or elite level bodybuilder or just a person that had a tremendous success story, and capitalizing that. For now, we have evergreen content to show the strength of our system. We could tell a compelling story why Built Better is a really good option. But with that being said, is that how do you appraise that? I know that person, you're in a good spot where you can be selective with who you want to work with and set a price point that is going to be facilitative of your time and the value that time is worth now. But how do you value that? What is the marketability of this person if I was getting able to get a tremendous transformation with them, or on the other end of they just have a high notoriety and I can capitalize on that? How do you evaluate that process in your decision making?
Yeah, honestly, I think I'm understanding what you're asking. We'll take on anyone and everyone. Again, we like, as long as someone's willing to work hard, communicate and follow our process entirely, we'll work with him. In terms of like how we're marketing the results that we're getting and getting more people in the building. Again, we started with being obsessive with results. So it makes this really cool scenario to where since we prioritize that, I could any given day walk into the gym and go, okay, you're the one we're going to post about. And it's an awesome story because we're obsessed with trying to get them a good story. And then we get the pick of the litter and it's okay, if I'm going to choose between posting another picture of another football guy, or I can post a picture of, like you said, like we've got some really cool bodybuilding guys or fitness influencers or whatever it is that we're helping. Yeah, the impact that it makes is crazy, both from a reach standpoint and also just if you have a good flow for capturing leads, it's game changing. There's one athlete that when I started working with him, just in the last, I think he is in the last 30 days, I've gotten like 4,500 followers because there was one post that was like, I happen to be tagged in and then people get curious. And just because you got the link in the right spot and you have a good flow and you set expectations, like it turns into tons of closes. So like setting that up to where for someone listening to this, whether it's a high level person or whether it's just a great result, like you have to be measuring and you have to be tracking. That's one of the worst things that you can do is not get the before picture if you're a transformation person, or not get the initial force production if it's an athlete or whatever it is. You've got to get that before, you've got to get the after. You have to show the story. That was another thing Nick Mitchell was telling me is you got to tell them the story. They want to follow along. They want to see the highs and the lows and show them where they ended up, relate it to the person. And then it's, you've got something that a lot of places don't have because you've created a result and there's an emotion tied to it. And then if someone has the funds for it and they're serious enough, then they jump in and you get to work with them.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Nick Mitchell's website and UP, it's probably the best transformational sales aspect because you have it demographic out like 20 to 30, 30 to 40, 40 to 50, 50 to 60, male, female, and just a list, like an endless list of transformations. And you go into that. And I made a big mistake early. The assumption, I know I'm going to get great results. Like I didn't have any doubt on that. What I didn't do a good job of knowing how valuable that is to convince the next person or even convince the existing person, because you lose sight of the fact that you've transformed, like you've changed entirely, and you need to remind them of that. And they need to celebrate that. And they need to feel like their financial investment, their time investment, just their emotional, physical, because they make tons of compromises and sacrifices from diet, nutrition, lifestyle, their daily habits, their weekly schedule, and they need to see the fruits of their labor. I just did a really poor job of that. Still struggle to catch up on that. And because I know I'm going to get great results. So I don't really feel like any inclination to talk about it. But then you're like, dang, man, I kick myself because I'm like, I should do a much better job of compelling your story, do a compelling story. And I look at you, I look at Nick Mitchell, I look at the countless other amazing coaches that walk a really good path of, I know I'm going to get great results, but it doesn't mean I'm going to be ignorant to the fact that I need to talk about it and share that story because that's exciting for that person as well as the next person who's on the precipice. Because it comes down to this end of the day, if they're going to decide to go to a gym in Scottsdale, Arizona, they're going to be better served going to you, potentially someone else down the road. They need to have a compelling reason why to go to you, and you know they're going to benefit from it. So just give them that reason. Thank you for that. Now, with that being said, you're going through the process of evaluating, you're going through the process of just training, balls to the wall, doing great programming, great coaching, and beautiful facilities. You got to be humming. You're now looking at the next phase of your business, the future of Built Better. It's always going to come up of, do you go to a bigger facility or do you open up another facility? How do you think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's a daunting scenario to think about. I've definitely been in a good mindset in the last year because I used to obsess over that stuff. I just take it day by day. I know where I want to go. And when the time comes, the door is going to open. But I've gotten some good advice on it to where at one point in time, I did want to do numerous locations. And you know what? I want UP in the strength and conditioning world. I want to have gyms in every single continent. And then there's the idea of these super facilities where it's 30,000 square feet. You've got a chef, you've got a this, you've got a that. Maybe you've got a residential spot for people to fly into. There's all these ideas. And there's a big check that's associated both going out and coming in potentially. But yeah, like we were talking before we jumped on about how expensive it can be to jump into a brick and mortar spot. especially when you're going into multiple, there's a lot of risk with it. So where we're at potentially right now with Built Better, I got some really good advice from Dom over it with the Raw team. We did a consultation and he told me with Built Better, what I need to do is have just an absolute sick singular location and try to make it something to where people want to come in. So building out education, building out online courses, building out all these things to where it pulls more tie to Built Better, build out the online piece, but then have a premium be paid to be with us here in person and then take it from there. I could totally see us having a couple of locations in key cities, like in Miami or somewhere in Cali or whatever it is. But for the most part right now, I know that we're moving into a new facility and I'm so grateful. We're going to worry about that. We're going to worry about our internal education with our coaches. We're going to worry about the other businesses that we're associated with, like Standard and everything else. But yeah, there's a million ways you can go with it. And by the way, kudos on your multiple locations. I remember the first time I saw it, I took a look at your website and I was like, this is a cool gym. This is a sick location. And then you go and it's like, oh, wait a second. Like, he's done this numerous times. Wow, this is crazy. So I'm amazed.
Thank you. But with that being said, I know the bottlenecks and I know where my cap is for programming. And I've been in your facility and I would say you're optimizing that space, like to a degree that you probably go, okay, like I couldn't take another client and there's a lot of, maybe it turns into like speed or agility or plyometric work. You have a small little strip of turf. Was that a big process of, all right, I need to expand to get more equipment or more space to do a program that's just maybe more comprehensive? Because you've optimized the program for that space. Are you now looking now, you just opened up a whole new realm that you weren't able to access in your current facility with your new program?
Yeah, we were very blessed to be in the spot that we were in, of course. We still got another year on our lease, but we've outgrown it. We were stepping on each other. Like you said, you've been there. We've got like 20 yards of turf. Anytime we want to do anything sprint related, if it's not resisted for 10 yards or less, we've got to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. We don't have a wall that we can do med ball throws onto or anything like that. Funny enough, we're in between a yoga studio, which you would think they'd need us to be really quiet. They're pretty chill about it. And then a nail studio. So even something as simple as like the music, like it get loud enough. This dude comes through and he turned it down a little bit. Oh my God. Like, all right. So yeah, we're extremely excited going into the new facility. We just walked in yesterday, and from a program design standpoint, we're about to go into the NFL offseason. So we're talking about all the things we're going to do once we get into the SPP and how we're going to make some adjustments to our standard programming. Like, just because I do education a month, 2 months in advance. And it's, yeah, look at this. We actually have a brick wall now. We can actually do med ball throws. We don't got to set up 5 boxes and have a coach stand behind it so it doesn't get knocked over. Yeah, we've definitely been limited to agree with what you're saying in our new facility and building out the programs, both from a man hour standpoint and also from like the equipment standpoint, has been complex. But it's an ongoing task and it's a beautiful problem to have. Needing to write more programs.
Yeah. You get in there and then the version that you have in your mind of what it's going to look like will look completely different a week, a month, and 6 months and a year later. And that's the fun part, man. I go through my business partners all the time of what's the rendering going to look like? What's the layout going to be? I'm like, it's going to look like this until we open. And it's going to be completely different. If the joke with my staff is they know I'm in there like the night before because I got 2 kids and like my schedules, I'm trying to beat them getting up or I'm trying to do stuff when they go to bed. So I'll get in some of these facilities at 3, 4 a.m. and I'm moving stuff around and I'm like adjusting it and then darting back home and getting the kids off to daycare or wherever else I need to send them. And my staff was like, will text me like, you were in here last night? I'm like, you know it.
I moved that? Yeah.
And the unfortunate thing about a strength training facility, there's nothing light. Everything's heavy. So if you got like dumbbells, if you got the Watson dumbbells, like 2-inch diameter revolving handles, like just wobbling those around. Because I got a pair of 65 kilos in all of my facilities. It's more of a symbolic of where we want you to go one day. But the only time those get moved is when I move our dumbbell rack and I have to physically move those around.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like the gesture of the leader here is willing to move this multiple times a year just so we remind each other of how we need to be. But they're more of a trophy dumbbell for us right now than actual physical use. We'll get there. All right, now, last question here, and I feel like it's going to be a doozy. So you big like 2025 Q1, Q2 initiative of building out a facility, getting your internal staff, your actual physical members that go to your four walls every single day, transferred over, try to keep as many of those people, if not get more people to bring friends so they can get those people getting great results. How are you looking to manage, because time is finite, how are you going to manage that expansion of your current facility with your now, it just seems like it's blossoming and growing digital aspect?
Yeah, so with the physical space and the move, super easy. I think the way that we've gone about it and the types of people that I'm privileged to have in our business, the rapport is crazy. So everyone hearing that we have this new facility and it's going to be 10 minutes this way, everyone's, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I can't wait. That's all happening organically. We haven't done any marketing. So that's a big piece that we just jumped on to ramp up in the new facility. None of that up to this point. That's going to be the biggest thing that we're going to tweak as we just linked up with Brother Dale. God, like it is such a cool thing to work with them. They've worked with Marvel. They blew up all of Chris Bumstead's companies. They've worked with pro teams and just, we're super excited. So we're working with them and that's going to help things grow over there going into the 2025. And then on the online space, same thing, marketing. And we've been working a ton in the background over the last 6 months, optimizing our systems so that we can handle taking on more people. Again, the last 6 months to a year in all has just been us trying to get everything ridiculously systemized to where it's repeatable and scalable so that when we jump in with this marketing company, we've gone the very patient, slow churn, just word of mouth. Let's not push anything. Now we're moving into this facility. We're getting some good traction online. And then jumping in with this marketing company, we've got the staff lined up. We've got leads for staff lined up. We've got the internal training. We've got everything set. So we've been working and waiting for this moment for the last 6 to 12 months. And now it's just, I was just talking to my wife. I was telling her, I feel like when I started the company, it was like me flying a kite. Like it's entirely depending on what I do. And there might be highs and lows. And then maybe I upgrade to a drone. I get an extra staff member. So things are like a little bit better. Now, like we've spent the last year, like putting together this rocket ship and it's just been sitting on the ground, but like we've been working on it. Like you don't see any fruit from it because we haven't pushed anything yet. And we're about to pull the trigger on all the marketing stuff and everything's set. It's boom. Now we just get to watch this thing take off that we've been working on. So that's 2025 for us.
And the beautiful thing about digital, and this is the stuff when you work with outside marketing or just consultants in general, they're like, they have this illusion, it's free money. It's not so much work that goes into it. But with that being said, you're already walking into this new facility a deficit, like you that you need to make more money with a bigger space. It's going to be a higher monthly rent. It's going to be just more expenses in general from cleaning and maintenance and staffing. You're probably going to upgrade some stuff with nutrition and bringing in outside contractors, whether it's soft tissue or our physical therapy. It's just more stuff to manage. Maybe you go the realm of adding in recovery modalities, and that's just more stuff to clean and manage and upkeep and maintenance and all this other stuff. And your software, your hardware, the physical tools that you use, like everything just add 25, 50% to your monthly cost.
Easily.
But having that peace of mind of going, all right, I got pretty consistent revenue coming in from digital. And that gives you a little bit more of a buffer and just gives you, as Nassim Taleb would talk about, this fragility. If you have one revenue stream in, don't mess that up. But if you have multiple revenue streams in, you're less fragile and you can handle a bad QQ because you know that you're going to have that. And the other downside of that is you become complacent and you look at it from Pareto principle of, I'm making all this money on digital with zero overhead. Why wouldn't I do more of that? Well, a big part of that is the confidence that people have with us because of actually the amazing results we get from our bigger value prop of coaching and programming in person. So it's one, really smart. And I know there's a lot of like strength coaches out there maybe on the fence of starting a digital program, or maybe one day have aspirations opening a physical space. It's not as big, it's audacious, it's daunting. There's so many things you're going to have to do and you have no idea what you're doing for a long time. But as you start working through, it's just like training. You just chip away at one thing at a time. And over time, it starts to manifest in this big, beautiful business that you can hopefully delegate, automate, or now I'm going to really focus on this. And it seems to me like the marketing aspect from your personal brand and all the things that you're just looking at the potential of your business seems to be a big focal point for you. So you can sink your teeth into that now because you've essentially downsized your clientele to
3 in person, 7 remote, and you can really focus on them and do a good job of them, time block that. But then the other part, it's Built Better is going to be a bigger brand from your vested interest in growing the brand and through marketing and just strategic storytelling.
Exactly. No, and I would add to that as well, of course, the online coaching piece, way lower overhead and the scalability. It's a slippery slope. Like, it's very easy if you get into the right groove and you get things going. You're not limited by the foot traffic. You're not limited by who lives by you. It's no joke. It is worldwide. But there's no reason why me in Scottsdale, I can't be coaching someone in Australia right now or in China or wherever it is. You know what I mean? There's a lot of people in the world and there's a lot of people that need coaching. I think the other piece that's very valuable is if you have something that's different or valuable that you can make it even more repeatable. Like obviously you have your book, you have Strength Deficit, which love it, by the way. Great. We've got it actually at the gym. I meant to show you when you came in. I was so excited. Like, I'm going to show him the book. Like, I'll get him to sign it and write a little note. But creating things like that, even just in the digital space, I write a lot of eBooks for Standard. It takes me, I don't know, 6 to 8 hours to write a 30-page ebook. And of course, in that case, we have a lot of people that are interested because of who's pushing it. But if you have something like that, or if you record a 60-minute webinar, or if you create a program and the way that like links and bios work, and or even there's a, I can't think of a name right now, ManyChat. There's little things that are like $15 a month that you can create it to where someone comments and then you automatically send it to them and you create a lead chain. There's so many things out there that there's no reason why every single coach can't be making an additional like $500 to $5,000 per month just off of these things. And that's on the lower end. You don't got to be like these big name people that do it. You just got to have something different. You have to be consistent and then maybe spend $1 or $2 on boosting posts or getting some ads rolling. But I don't think it's complex at all. And like you said, it's a very low lift.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Justin, thank you so much for this. This was awesome conversation. I really appreciate it. I'm tagging everything, but anything you want people to get excited about, what you got coming up here in 2025?
Yeah, man. We actually just, the Standard team, we just trademarked the name Jacklete. So like jacked athlete. I'm telling you, man, I think that's the next wave in fitness. Like, people are a little tired of like the hybrid athlete who's like really skinny that like lifts, but they'll go run a marathon on any given day. So we're really trying to lead into that. And I think that's really who Built Better is we get people jacked, we get crazy results, and we make them athletic as all get out. I don't care who you are, like that's what we're going to do for you. So I'm really excited. We're pushing programs on Standard app. We're of course churning out results and Built Better. We've got some great stuff coming down the pipeline. Keep an eye out for all of that.
Hybrid athlete is just a fancy way of saying you don't like to do a lower body, in my opinion.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
You can't just bench and run quarter, half marathons, man. That's super lame.
No.
It's weird.
That's right. That's right.
This kind of, I don't care if you're on a leg press, or a squat. Do it, man. You can't just skip it entirely.
Public service announcement. Tim thinks you look weird if you just bench and run marathons. Your own opinion. I'm nervous.
Please, all the time, man. Get out of here. Oh, man, this is awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah, brother. Thanks for having me again. This was a great time.
Awesome.